Kevin Herter to get it in. Everyone standing at State Farm Arena. Herter looks, plays it into Trey. 2 seconds, one. Trey's floater.
Rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal in Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynch is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
You are now listening to the Hawks Beat Podcast with your host, E-Dub.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome to another edition of the Hawks Beat Podcast. I'm your host, E-Dub, and thank you for checking us out, man. Wherever you are consuming this podcast, I appreciate you. Hope your day is going well, your night, evening. Whenever you are checking us out, we appreciate it. Hawks Beat Podcast, episode number 5 of season 8. And we have an interview with my guy, Malik Brown from Peachtree Hoops. We talked a little Hawks basketball, man. We talked a little Hawks basketball, and we touched on last season and this season coming up, and we talked a little bit about what the Eastern Conference is going to look like. So that is going to be the lion's share of this podcast, my interview with Malik of Peachtree Hoops. He's also one half of the duo of In the Clutch podcast. He's got a bunch of things going on. So if you're a Hawks fan and you're not following Malik, swing by the Twitter and go holler at our guy, all right? His Twitter name is _MalikATL. That's _MalikATL. Has a nice piece up for Peachtree Hoops right now on Sharif Cooper. So make sure you go by PeachtreeHoops.com and check out his piece that he has on Sharif Cooper. So before I get into that interview, just a bit of housekeeping for today. The Hawks locked up Kayvon, man. The Hawks locked up Kevin Herter. The report, according to ESPN Adrian's Wojnarowski, is that it is a 4-year deal, $65 million in its totality. Of course, all of the things have not officially been reported from the Hawks. But listen, we know how Woj is. Woj always gets the scoop. Woj gets the scoop. Kevin is we knew Kevin was going to get a deal, and it's good to see them get him locked up, locked away before the season gets going, before the deadline passes. We definitely don't want what's going on in Arizona, because they were unable to reach a deal with DeAndre Ayton, and which is interesting, man, because like he had a really good year. But anyway, that's for our Phoenix Suns podcast. But for the Hawks, they lock up Kevin Herter. 4 years, and what was the number again? I just said it. 4 years, $65 million, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. So I think it's a good deal for Kev. I think the money's right. And salute to him, man. Salute to him. And he now joins Clint Capella, John Collins, Trae Young. All of those guys receive contract extensions this season. So It is very clear what the Hawks have, well, where they have placed their priorities. That's about $408 million in contracts that the Hawks ownership has paid out this season between Trae Young, John Collins, Herter, and Capella. And also the Hawks picked up the extensions on Okongwu, DeAndre Hunter, and Cam Reddish. So listen, Hawks are ready to run it back, and they're ready to take care of those core guys, man. So salute to Kev, and hopefully the best is yet to come. Also, the Hawks announced officially their roster, and I believe the last podcast we did, we were talking about who was going to get that final spot. And I had an idea that it was probably going to be TLC. That's Timothy LaRue Cabaret. I'm not sure if I'm saying that name not right now, but he did grab that last spot. And you have a you got your squad now, man. You have your squad. You have the new additions, of course, of Cooper and Johnson and TLC. Jang and DeLon Wright with the new guys coming and the guys leaving. You got Bruno Fernando, Chris Dunn, Brandon Goodwin, Tony Snell, Nathan Knight. All those guys did not get re-signed and or traded. So Hawks are ready to roll this Thursday night. This Thursday night. That's right. This Thursday night. If you are not in the building, make sure you're somewhere close. Got your popcorn ready. Luka and the Mavericks coming into town to take on the Atlanta Hawks. And it's going to be, as the young folks will say, it's going to be lit. It's going to be lit. Can't wait for the season to start, man. But let me see. Is that it? One more piece of news. One more piece of news before we get into our interview. The Atlanta Hawks, their media department. I don't know if you want to call it their media department, but Atlanta Hawks Studios. That's actually a story at thehawksbeat.com. Make sure you swing by our website. They have released the first two parts of Access Playoffs 2021. Now, listen, I have already watched the first two episodes of this. I believe it's a four-part series. It is really good, guys. It's really good. Going to YouTube, it's on their YouTube channel, and it is really, it's a really good watch, especially if you're a Hawks fan. It shows a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of the locker room talk, a lot of the in-the-tunnel stuff. As the Hawks were making their run last year, man. So go by and check that out, man. Whenever you, it's about 40 minutes long for that first one. I think the second one is like 30-something minutes. But it's really good. Episode 3 is actually going to drop tomorrow. So I'm definitely going to be waiting for that thing to pop off. But shout out to the Hawks Studios team. And they did a great job. So we're going to take a quick little break, and on the other side of the break, we have our interview with Peachtree Hoops writer Malik Brown. We're going to be talking a little Hawks and all that jazz. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. This segment is brought to you by Dow Family Wellness, the official chiropractor of the Hawks Beat Podcast. If you are experiencing any type of back pain, neck pain, or pain, go see our guy, Dr. Rick. Ask him about the Hawks Beat special, which includes a consultation, digital scans, and an adjustment for just $37. Just tell him E-Dub from the Hawks Beat sent you. That's Dow Family Wellness. Check out their banner at thehawksbeat.com or call Dr. Rick, 470-395-3478. That's 470-395-3478. Visit Dow Family Wellness. Tell them Hawks Beat sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Hawks Beat Podcast. It's your man's E-Dub, back again for another edition of the Hawks Beat Podcast. This is my guy. I got a special guest with me today, man. My guy, Malik Brown. Malik is, he's no stranger to the podcast, man. He's been on before. He is one half of the duo of In the Clutch Pod. Lately, he's been doing some work from Peachtree Hoops. I guess I can call you an alumni of the Crush Sports Talk, man. Malik's been all over the place. Malik, what's up, my guy?
What's going on, E? Thank you for having me on.
Hey, man, you're starting to become quite the scribe over there at Peachtree Hoops, man. How long you been going with those guys, man? They do great work over there, man.
Yeah, I love those guys. I've actually, it's funny, when I actually first started writing, and that was like in 2015, I think, they were like one of the first sites I actually looked at for like Hawks News. So it's kind of like cool to actually be writing for them now. But I started writing for them earlier, like this year, maybe around May-ish. I think it was almost about time, like for the Hawks season to end. So it's been great, man. Like learning from those guys, they're real basketball heads. So just learning from those guys and just being able to just connect with other writers is pretty cool. So I'm glad to be on the team.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the whole Peachtree Hoops crew, man. They do a great job over there. Brad and Glenn and all those guys, man, they do great work over there. And yeah. I want to start with the piece you wrote last week, man, on Sharif Cooper, man. You talked about a little bit about what you've been seeing with Sharif, and a lot of people have liked what they've seen from Sharif, even though it's been a small sample size, you know, and sometimes fans will kind of get ahead of themselves. But what particularly have you seen that have you liked out of Sharif in this this short sample size that he's putting out there?
Yeah, man, for a rookie, it's been kind of amazing to see the stuff that he's already doing. And like you said, you don't want to get too high on like a player, of course, since it's, you know, preseason. And then, of course, he played in summer league as well. But I mean, shoot, the stuff he was doing in summer league, he was doing in the preseason. And what really caught my eye was his playmaking. Like, that's really something that just opens your eye off rip is his playmaking. And that's something that when he was coming into the draft, like, that was one of his biggest strengths, was his playmaking and being able to, you know, get his guy set up. So I know it was a couple passes that I highlighted in that article. I actually didn't highlight the John Collins dunk. I didn't put that in there because, I mean, that was kind of self-explanatory. You know, everybody saw that. That was kind of crazy. But it was kind of the other thing I feel like people probably didn't recognize or see. And just his ability to get in the lane, like, he's fast. He's super fast. And he just kind of reminds you of Trey when he's out on the floor. Like, of course, he doesn't have the jump shot, but just his ability to get to the lane, his passing, and at his size too. And he showed a little bit of that jump shot too. I know that was one of his weaknesses coming into the draft, was him not being able to, you know, put up shots at a consistent rate. But the way he was shooting the three ball, it looked pretty good. So I think he's going to be real good. I know he's probably going to be in College Park for the most part, but I think he's going to have a good future.
Yeah, man, he is. The Hawks got a steal getting him in the second, man, because a lot of people had him going mid first round in some mocks that I saw. And this is my last one on Sharif, and then we'll move on a little bit. Sharif is like I said, he can get to any spot on the floor. He can get to any spot on the floor. What are some things that you think that he needs to polish as far as his game is concerned? Because it's very raw, but you see the talent, you see the athleticism. What are just a few things that you see that, man, like, once he gets this and once he gets that, like, it'll really be official? Because I think he's going to eat when he go down to College Park, to be honest with you, man.
Oh, he's yeah, he is. He is. It's going to be real nasty. Oh, yeah, he's going to eat. He's going to eat for sure. But I think, honestly, I think one thing he could probably work on is just, and I know, like, the title of my article was his patience, but just him slowing down, because I know it was a couple turnovers he had where it was kind of like he was pressing it, but just being able to let the game come to him. I think that was one of the big things with Trey in his rookie year, like trying to press things too much, but once you kind of like slow down and kind of like evaluate the floor, like, I think you get a better sense of what's going on. And I think, shoot, just going back to Trey, like, this year, after McMillan took over, like, you can see that it felt like he was like literally the quarterback of the offense. Like, of course, we knew he's the point guard or whatnot, but it just, everything looked more fluid. He looked more comfortable. Like, he was getting his teammates more involved. Like, everything looked better. So I think with Sharif, just letting the game slow down for him, because, I mean, as rookies, like, you know, you come in, you press in, you know, you want to put the stats up or whatnot, but, you know, you get in the film room, you start to understand plays better. I think that would be probably one of his biggest things to work on.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, and that comes with time, you know, and, you know, hopefully they can I love the addition of Nick Van Exel that can really work with him, but yeah,
right.
I really like good piece on him. Let's move on. I want to hit some spots, kind of, and starting with last year. And last year was kind of a Cinderella season. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like, I got it wrong. Like, I thought they was gonna lose. Hey, bro. And I will be the first to admit I got it wrong. And it's crazy because, like, and I don't have a problem with that. And it's really funny. I even went back talking about things we missed. And I was listening back to draft coverage. And I remember the year that Trey came out. I was like, yo, man, Hawks need to draft Jaren Jackson. No disrespect to Jaren Jackson. And you know, Jaren Jackson is going to be a ball player. I still believe he's going to be a ball player. But at that time, yeah. I just really wanted the Hawks to get that defensive type guy. Because if you know anything, their defense was poor. It's like, nah, man, they don't need no Trae Young. They need to get Jaren Jackson.
Right, but, right.
It's funny, man, just, you know, just for you know, giggles and everything. Like, was there anything you kind of missed on last season when you're just like, oh, I missed on that?
Oh, man. It's crazy because I don't even really honestly remember my my predictions that I had for the Hawks. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I know, of course, you know, after they added everybody, like, they added Danilo and they added, you know, they went on that shopping spree. They got Danilo, Rondo. Then they got Chris Dunn, yeah. And then they got Bogdan like a little later, and I was like, dang, this I knew it was going to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Kind of like I was kind of betting like back, like set maybe it's like a 7 seed at most. But then, you know, the season starts and they look good at the beginning. No, they look good at the beginning. Then after a minute, you know, you get the stuff about Trey and John, and then the injuries come up, and then it's the team that's like, oh dang, like are we about to start talking about the lottery again? Like that's where it was kind of heading. But you know, of course, Pierce got fired, and then McMillan came in, and then the whole like trajectory of the team just like they took a whole 180 in my opinion. So
and I'll say, like, I don't think even those who are like your staunchest Hawks fans can predict it like last year. You know what I mean? Because it was just so like, I mean, it was a great season. Have you checked out any of the new YouTube stuff that they put out the other day? They're putting out a 4-part. Yeah, have you checked out any of that?
I haven't seen. I've seen like the little snippets they put on the, but I haven't watched the whole videos.
Yeah, so I sent that out, and I actually did a post on the Hawks beat. They sent out to the media. They did. They've done part one and part two. They've released those two on NBA All Access, and it's pretty much just behind the scenes from like last season. Yo, it is a good watch, bro. Like, it is a good watch.
Do they start from the? Do they start from the playoffs? They start from the playoffs.
They start from the Knicks series.
Okay.
So
okay.
You know, you see like a lot of the stuff like in the locker room and, you know, as they're coming onto the floor, it's just like, it's really good. They did a really good job with it. So if you guys haven't checked out, make sure y'all check that out. But yeah, man, this last year, it was just phenomenal. And I think that just kind of moving on, I think that the Hawks' ability to be successful this year is getting last year out of their mouth. Like, okay, now we got to move forward, right? So I want to talk a little bit about some of the roster. And this season, I mean, the offseason, they've made some moves, man, and they pretty much just shored up everybody. Trey got his bag. John got his bag. They re-upped on Clint. They picked up the options on DeAndre, Onyeka, Cam. And today, just a few hours ago, Kevin Huerter got locked up for another 4 years. So they're just kind of reloading and saying, okay, these are the guys we want to roll with, man. when you look at the makeup of this team, we understand that Trae Young is obviously the cornerstone, but who would you say is kind of the most important per player after Trae? Or like, who is the most important player after Trae Young?
I'm going to be honest. And I'm pretty sure the players on the Hawks could attest for this too. It's probably DeAndre Hunter. And it's funny how since last season, since the injury, like players have been saying that. I know Solo's been like the main guy that's been saying like, yo, if we had DeAndre Hunter this time, like we could have went to the finals or we could have did more. Like and I think that's honestly, that's one of the biggest surprises of last season, DeAndre Hunter's ascension. Cause
yeah,
I didn't see that coming. Like it was like a stretch where he was just like putting up numbers, and I remember the Milwaukee game he had. I was like, "Wow! Like this dude is—he's here now." And when he went down with that injury, it was like the Hawks really lost, like, first of all, they lost their best defensive perimeter player. And then as far as what he was giving you all at that time, it was like he was the most consistent offensive player on the Hawks at that time, which is crazy when you have Trey on the team. But I think with Hunter coming back, and he says that he's still not 100%, but looked last week against the Heat in the preseason game, he looked real good for not to be 100%. And we don't know if he's going to be like on a – I don't know if they're going to rest him every other time, every other day or something like that. But I think Hunter is going to be real key just for what he brings on the defensive side and just what we saw from him on offense last season.
Good call. That's a good call. I like DeAndre Hunter. I loved – so here's the thing. I was a big DeAndre Hunter when they drafted him. Like, I remember when him and Cam came in, like, a lot of the fanfare went to Cam, and I'm going to ask you about Cam in a minute. But DeAndre Hunter was just kind of like the quiet, you know, guy. Like, but I was like, yo, this guy's ready. Like, this guy, like
– yeah.
Like, not saying I, like, knew – but like I was really high on DeAndre Hunter, you know.
Yeah.
Now, granted,
they just won a championship.
granted, I missed on the Trae Young pick, right? Like, granted, I missed on the Trae Young pick. I'll eat that. I'll eat it. But I was right there with DeAndre Hunter when they grabbed him. I was like, "Yo, that's the move," you know.
Yeah.
But so, in the question I asked you about the most important part, named Trey, DeAndre is a good selection. But for my money, I would say Clint Capella. Capella, just because I believe nobody else has his skill set and nobody else can affect the Hawks like he does when he's in there. Like, you saw even the difference when Gorgui Dieng was in there. Gorgui, I've been pronouncing his name all season long. Dieng, when Dieng was in there, it's just a different beast as when Capella's in there. Capella does so many things defensively. And I think that you can make an argument for both of these guys, DeAndre and Clint Capella. My question to you then is, being that both of these guys are dealing with injuries, could this be a problem? And looking at this objectively, right, we're taking off our fan hat, looking at this objectively, could this possibly be a concern or something to look at, noticing like your second guy really is been dealing with injuries, you know, and that's with Capella and DeAndre.
Yeah, it sucks that they both have injuries, seriously. Because I think what Clint has an Achilles injury, and then of course DeAndre has the meniscus or whatever he had to get repaired. But yeah, and it sucks even more because those are like your defensive anchors. If you think about it, like, they really like hold down their own, like they hold down their position. So losing one of them, it really sucked. And you could tell, because I think Clint missed a couple games last season, you could really tell the difference between when he wasn't on the court, and when he's on the court. And granted, when Okongwu kind of came on like late during the season, like late, like playoffs. So, and he's shown that he could do some good things, but he's hurt as well. So it at the center position, to lose somebody like Clint, who is like the grabs all the rebounds, defensive anchor, like holds everything down in the paint, it really hurts. But I think you can kind of be okay with losing with Hunter, because I mean, we saw last year what they did without him. Like, they went on the run without him. Mm-hmm. And they still have a lot of wings on. They have Kevin still. And Kevin played good last year. I think at one point he was guarding the best defensive player on the other team. I mean, the best offensive player on the other team. Yeah, he took
a big step up defensively. Yeah,
right. So you still got him. You got Cam coming back. Like, you could be fine with losing Hunter for you know, some games, but Capella, and just the fact that you're gonna be missing the Okongwu until January, it looks kind of scary. But
yeah,
hopefully he's good. Hopefully he's good.
And the thing is, like, with Capella, it's just, it just makes me a little nervous. you know, because knowing how big men are with injuries, like big men don't get healthier as they get older. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, you're always hoping for the best, but that is just like a concern if we're looking at this thing objectively. You mentioned Cam Reddish, and Cam Reddish is a fascinating player to me because aside from Trae Young, he might be the fan favorite here in Atlanta. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's funny when you were talking about how he was a fan favorite coming into the draft. Like, I don't know if you went to the draft night that they had at the arena, but I vividly remember the Hawks got Hunter at 4, and everybody was like, "Woo!" And they got Cam at 10. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, we got Cam!" even the announcer, I think Ryan Cameron was like, "Okay, guys, the 10th pick is coming. Who do you think?" And he literally said, "Cam." And everybody was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Yo, this is insane. We just why did y'all not have the same energy for like 6 picks earlier?" It was insane. Like, no, he's a fan favorite for sure.
Yeah, and so, and I find it amazing because it's been such a it's such a rocky road, like as far as like people who are pro Cam and then people who are like, you know, criticized, because I mean, if we're being honest, right, like all things honest, Cam had a great playoff. Like he had a great playoff, especially in games in Milwaukee. But up until now, his tape, I'll say this, his playoff tape has not been impressive. It has not been impressive.
Right.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy. There's been a lot more inconsistencies than there has been consistency. Nobody doubts athleticism, but it's like almost like to certain Hawks brass, you can't really say anything bad about Cam. It's like,
exactly.
I just find it. I mean, look, I love the kid. He has such a, you know, such a boyish mentality that it brings to the game with his smile. And he's just kind of quiet, and he has so much potential, man. I just find him fascinating. What do you think the outlook is for him this year, man? Just, you know, just looking at it from an objective standpoint.
Honestly, I don't know. And I don't think that Nate knows. He might know now, but at the beginning of preseason, I think he was like, he just wants Cam to like shoot the ball, basically. Like he was basically like, cause he said that he doesn't know who Cam is. Cause when he took over, Cam was still hurt. So he only really got to see Cam in his system when the playoffs came. And like you said, Cam is so fascinating because it's like, I feel like he can do I feel like he can handle the ball. Feel like he can defend. We saw that he can shoot, but does he have to do, he doesn't have to do all of that in his offense. Like no, it's already people that are doing that. So And at this point, it's like, is Cam going to buy in to what McMillan wants to do? Like, if McMillan just says, okay, I don't want you to handle the ball. I just want you to be a 3-and-D player. Will Cam be okay with that? Because it's like, I feel like Cam knows that he can do so much more. And everybody, like, around him is like, hyping it up to be like, oh, yeah, he can do this and this and that. But as we've seen, his best games this year, including the playoffs and the preseason, have been when he's just a spot-up shooter, when he does not have the ball in his hand longer than 5 seconds and he's not dribbling. He can be good. You saw what he did in 6. He was literally just coming up and shooting. He wasn't handling the ball much or nothing. So if he can just buy into that role, I think he will be good. Just a 3-and-D player. That's all he needs to be.
Yeah, and I think that Nate is putting a lot of confidence in him, especially with that second unit, and just saying, like, just go be free. Like, be the star of the second unit, man. Go grab you a 6-man. Like, go, like, just be, you know, be you, and we'll see what that you is, you know, at the end of the day. He's got to stay healthy. Like, no more injuries. Like, he's got to stay healthy. Yeah. And, I mean, I think the world of the kid, and I think, you know, I hope he has a great year, so. That's about Cam. Let's take a trip around the East, man. A lot of people, the East is a very interesting situation, because you got Brooklyn and then you got the situation. Is Kyrie going to play? Is he not going to play? You got Philadelphia with Ben Simmons. And I saw a video today of Ben Simmons at practice, and that was so like everybody's doing like the little let's go at the end of the other practice, and Ben is just like kind of in the back, you know,
he's back dribbling the basketball.
They break the huddle, and he just like bounces, like, no,
he's the first one out.
Where do you see the Hawks fitting in when you look at the scope of the East, man?
I feel like it's tough, but it's not tough. And of course, I'm gonna put the Bucks number one. And it's funny because I think I saw somebody say that the Nets were gonna be underrated or something this year, or they were gonna have a chip on their shoulder because Kyrie wasn't gonna play. I was like, do y'all understand that they still have like one of the two, like they have two of the best scorers in the NBA on their team still? Like, just have it, like, it's insane. Like, having Kyrie is overkill. But without Kyrie, Kevin Durant and James Harden are still, like, they can get you a two seed. So, I think I'm going to put the Bucks first. I'm going to keep the Nets second. But I do think that if everything clicks for the Hawks, they have a good chance to be take that second spot. But I'll keep
the third spot first. Or you said the second spot.
The second spot. If everything clicks. So, but I'm gonna stick with Bucks first. I'm gonna stick with the Nets second. And I'll go Hawks third and Heat fourth. Five, six, and seven are kind of like, you know, Knicks, Celtics, Bulls, like that little group. But I think the top four would be interesting.
Where are you on Philly? Because here's the thing why I ask this, because a lot of people have Philly ranked above the Hawks, even with the Ben Simmons situation, like in limbo. And I kind of have them in like in a tier, right? So I have like the Hawks, I have the Heat, and I have the Sixers all in that tier. And like, to be honest with you, I don't know who's going to be the lead dog of that tier. I think that who's ever more healthy at the end of the day is probably going to be, you know, the leader of that tier for that third seed.
Right.
But I think Miami's there. I think Atlanta's there. And I think that Philly's there. Maybe Chicago. I mean, I'm not too high on Chicago, but Chicago could be a player too.
Yeah.
Indiana fascinates me because they have a lot of, they're still dealing with some health issues, but I kind of look at it as kind of like a tier system and just kind of have like those guys. So where are you on like Philly?
Philly. It's funny because every time somebody asks me about my rankings, I always forget Philly, and I just forgot Philly. it's crazy. It's kind of hard because with Ben, like, they should still be one of the top seeds for sure, because I mean they did the same thing. I mean, they did it with the same squad last year, but you don't know how committed Ben is going to be. Like, even though Ben is getting so much slack or whatnot, like, Ben was a big reason why they were the number one seed. Of course, Embiid had an MVP season, but like, Ben Simmons is probably like one of the best defenders in the league still, and he's one of the best. Like, he's an all NBA player. So,
yeah. I think that gets lost in the translation. Like,
it does.
Despite everything, like, he's still a boy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, he can still ball. Like, he's still a top, you know, all NBA first team. They still got Thibault, who was an all NBA second team. And I give them the respect based on not even Ben Simmons, but Joel Embiid. I think the season he had last year with MVP, like. And when he's going, he is going. So,
yeah,
I got them, like I said, I got them in that same tier with the Hawks. But, I mean, I don't know unequivocally who will be the three seed out of Miami, Atlanta, and Philly, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a toss-up. It's definitely a toss-up. Like you said, it might come down to who's healthier. And, I mean, I would put the Hawks there just because they're a younger team. And, like, I mean, the Heat have a couple of players that I feel like, you know, they're going to rest them every once in a while. Like, Jimmy's going to get, like, some rest days or whatnot. But, you know, Trey doesn't like to rest. John barely misses games. Of course, we just talked about earlier how the big thing will be Capella and Hunter. But if they're healthy, like, I think everybody plays the whole season, but unless an injury occurs or whatnot, like a random rest night for the Hawks, I just don't see it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, and this is no hyperbole, and folks know, like me, like, I kind of pride myself on being objective when it comes to the Hawks, and sometimes to my own detriment. But but with that being said, man, I think Atlanta has the deepest team in the East.
Yeah,
probably with Milwaukee. They're getting DiVincenzo. I call him White Dante. They're getting White Dante back. You know what I mean? They lost PJ, but I think Milwaukee's pretty deep. I think Atlanta is deep as far as 1 to 10. I think that. I mean, I don't think that you'll be hard pressed to name another team that is as deep as the Hawks. Yeah. And I think that's good for them. I think that's going to be very important, especially if you have to deal with injuries. Knock on wood, but. This is a long season. Guys do get hurt, you know?
Right, right.
Is there a team in the East that you're kind of like, you feel that's going to be kind of better that no one's kind of really talking about?
So I made a YouTube video last week, and I was talking about my sleepers in the Eastern Conference. And two teams I picked were, I picked Washington, and I picked Charlotte. I think I'm more high on the Wizards than Charlotte just because of Bradley Beal. But just the Wizards in general, like, and I think when people, when you get this question, I think everybody kind of says the Bulls, like, as a sleeper team, but I don't feel it like they're a sleeper because
folks think they're going to be good.
Yeah, they got, I mean, like, you got Zach LaVine and Vucevic and DeMar DeRozan, like, you're supposed to be good. Let's just go a little deeper. Like, I think Washington is going to be one of those teams. I like what they got for Russell Westbrook. They got KCP, they got Kuzma, and they got Montrez. Like, those are all dogs. And one thing I've seen about Kuzma, like, if he's not held back like he was the past two seasons, I think he can go, like, on the scoring. Like, I think he can put up, like, maybe 20 a game, honestly. Like, that's how good I think he can be for the Wizards. I think
Spencer Dinwiddie is doing solid. 20 a game for Washington.
Yeah. Kuz was getting held back like from LeBron. Like it's obvious. He was just sitting the whole time. So, and I think he had a chance to be like a part of that big three with him and AD, but it just never panned out. But I think Washington gives him a new look, like somewhere new to be, and I think he's gonna have like a new mindset. So I think like they got a lot of good pieces over there. I think if they
you said that team was Charlotte.
I just like they're a young team that could probably sneak up on a couple teams. They did pretty good last year, and LaMelo, I think if LaMelo and Gordon and Terry, like if they can really hold down that fort, I think they'll be pretty solid too.
Yo, folks forget, like, Charlotte gave the Hawks the business last year early
they
on.
They did.
Like, it was before the coaching change, but listen, when LaMelo, like, he was out for blood last year.
Yeah, I mean, like, right.
Every time Trey got switched up on him, he was going at him. And there was nothing that they could do about it. Like, folks want to forget about that. But listen, I think they're going to have issues with their depth. I don't think they're a very deep team after that first five. You got Melo, Rozier, and Hayward is obviously going to be, you know, the cog that makes that thing go. And Bridges is a boy, you know, right. What I'm saying, he is a ball player, but I don't think they got very much after that, and I think that's going to be their downside. But Charlotte's a team to watch out for.
Yeah, I think they're going to be real exciting. Of course, with him and Bridges, if they connect on the Instagram post saying who do you think is going to have the best dunk connections, Trey and John or LaMelo and Bridges, and I was like, that's kind of tough, like.
Yeah, that's a lose-lose.
It is. But I mean, it's a close. Like, it's not a wash. But I think like they're going to be like a real exciting young team to watch for this season.
Yeah, I do too, and I think that it's going to be really fun. I mean, it's so many different variables in the East, and you can't really, and to be honest with you, man, like, you're not really going to – and everyone's going to make all of these sweeping judgments after the first week of basketball, and everyone's going to be this, team's going to be that. And folks overreact, and that's kind of what they do. But listen, basketball season doesn't really start until December. You know what I'm saying? The guys still put themselves in shape. But, you know, I'm still looking forward to the season. Opening night is going to be crazy down at Phillips. I mean, State Farm Arena with Luka in town going up against the Dallas Mavericks. It's going to be crazy, man. But let me ask you this, as far as the Hawks are concerned. Last year, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And a lot of people said they kind of snuck up on folks and they upended the number one seed with the Philadelphia 76ers. What is it going to take for them to get to at least the finals again, or maybe even go any further? Like, what is it going to take for them to get better or to go further?
Well, like you said at the beginning of the pod, they have to, like, erase their minds of what happened last year, for sure. Like, I think a lot of teams mess up because they get so focused on what they did last year, and they come back and they think, you know, they're that same good team, and then the team like a couple of teams just sneak up on you, start beating you. Like, dang, what happened? But if they can just erase that mindset from last year and just start fresh, you brought back most of your team, you filled up some spots on the team for sure. Just I think you just got to be better. Like I think. Because I saw somebody tweet this after they lost in the conference finals. They were like, the biggest thing for the Hawks is just being better than they were this year. And if Trey can continue to ascend, if John can continue to ascend, like, if they can stay healthy, I think health is probably one of the biggest things. Because, like you said, the Hawks are probably one of the deepest teams in the East right now. So if they can just stay healthy – and if everybody now I think about it, probably the biggest thing is everybody can just play their role, and it's going to be a lot of sacrificing this year. And McMillan has said that a lot, like,
exactly,
because he didn't have everybody last year, so everybody was, you know, Kevin was getting minutes, and this person was getting minutes. Now it's like, okay, Hunter's coming back, Cam's coming back. Kevin not going to get the same minutes that he got last time because Cam and Hunter are going to cut into it. Like, it's going to be really difficult for everybody to just buy in, and for them to be a young team. Like, you know, some players, they just want to get their stats at the end of the day. But I think this team is kind of different. Yeah, it's a wrap. But I think if everybody just plays their role, if they can sacrifice and know that sacrificing is better for the team, I think they'll be good. I think they'll be real good.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that because, you know, watching the All Access thing, you know, Nate, after every game, was just talking about sacrifice, and this is in the playoffs when they're winning.
Yeah.
You had vets, you know, sacrificing their minutes and guys sacrificing their stats, and it's going to be interesting to see how they handle, number one, being the hunted now, right? Because before, they've always been the hunter. Now they're the hunted. Now they're going to go into games and they're going to be going in favored. Now, can you take everybody's best shot? Can you get up to play the Orlando Magic at 2 p.m. on a Sunday? You know what I mean?
Hey, because, you know, Lou don't like those games.
Those guys are going to come in, and they're going to come in for blood. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
And that's the difference of the mentality that the Hawks are going to have, right? Like, can you, you know, play the Toronto, you know, whoever, like on a you know, random week? Can you get up for those games? And I remember one time Charles Barkley said, with Phoenix Suns, after they went to the finals, he said the next year, he's like, I knew we weren't going back because certain guys got their money, certain guys got paid, certain guys got all this endorsement money. And he was like, I looked in their eyes and I didn't see the hunger. And I never forget that. I'll never forget him saying that. And I'm like, yo, like, no, this, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing with the Hawks locking up these guys. From a management standpoint, you had to lock them up. But to me, the most important thing is, how much of that dog do you have in you after the money's good, after you gotten a little bit of fame, and, you know, where is the dog going to be at? And that's kind of what I look at as far as them going forward. I think they have all the ability in the world. Health, to me, is going to be their first and foremost, you know, thing of staying healthy. And that's across the board. That's not just the Hawks. It's everybody, you know, especially down in L.A. when they got all them old dudes on there. So, It's going to be interesting, man. I'm excited.
I think And when you talk about the whole, when we just talk about the whole sack and the hunger and the sacrifice and whatnot, I think John was like really, I think he handled last season really well, because you know you got player like the fact that you know he wasn't able to get the contract before the season started last year. It's kind of like, okay, is he at this point? It's like he's betting on himself. So you know when players start betting on themselves, they want to put up stats, they want to put up numbers or whatnot. But I remember John was talking about how he just knew that just for the team, you know, he had to sacrifice. And at the end of the day, he got the money that he deserved. So I think just the way he handled everything from last season was amazing. So hopefully, like, that whole team can just – the whole team can buy into stuff like that.
Yeah. We already talked about the Hawks. You said to probably be like a 2 or 3 seed if everything falls right as far as your opinion is concerned. As far as win total, and win total doesn't really matter if you're talking about the seeds. You know, people always ask me about win total. Last year, they went 41-31 in a 72-game season. How about a win total for the Hawks, man? What's kind of a ballpark figure you think they're looking at?
I think they can win around 50 games. I think I'll go like high 40s, low 50s. Mm-hmm. If I want to put like a stamp on it, maybe 51-31. I think that's good enough to be like third, fourth in the East.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm right there too. But yeah, man. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Malik Brown, Peachtree Hoops. When you guys starting season 2 of your podcast, man?
Oh boy! look, the way me and Nia are booked, we don't know, but we always got the other podcast with Rashad where we do Hawk. So
yeah,
if y'all want to check out Pod from there? Subscribe to Atlanta Sports Unlimited. We got literally all types of sports. So yeah, y'all definitely check that one out.
Yeah, so go ahead and shout out all the things that you got your hands into, man. While we're about to get up out of here.
Cool. So, of course, you guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at _MalikATL. Of course, Peachtree Hoops. You can find them at Peachtree Hoops. I do a lot of Hawks writing there. Atlanta Sports Unlimited, that's where we do the podcast with me and my co-host Rashad Milligan. And I just started some YouTube stuff on my own channel. So you guys may subscribe to there, like, comment. It's under my name, Malik Brown, so it should be easy to find. So that's all I got going on for this season.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, brother, for coming on at the last minute. And
thank you for having me. I love it.
Man, we're going to chop it up, man. You know, as much as we talk and talk back and forth on the games and in the chat and everything, like, it's always an easy fit. It's always an easy fit. But I appreciate you, bro. And we'll be in touch, man.
This segment is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey guys, what's up? It's Edub. I know you guys have heard our Manscaped read by now, and I'm here to tell you, listen, it's not too late to get that below the belt trim that some of you are in desperately need of. Listen, Manscaped not only has top of the line waterproof trimmers to keep the hedges nice and clean, but they also have boxers, lotions, colognes to have you feeling and smelling so fresh and so clean. So head over to manscaped.com, use our promo code HawksBeat for 20% off your entire order and free shipping. Once again, that promo code is HawksBeat for 20% off and free shipping. She'll be glad you did.
Again, special thanks to our guy Malik for coming through, chopping up with us about the Atlanta Hawks today. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at HawksBeat. Rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate all the ratings, all the 5 stars, all the reviews. We really appreciate you guys as always. And like we always say, man, you'll know what time it is. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So if you don't know him, you need to find him and show him love, because that is all he is showing you. L-O-V-E love. We out. Peace.
This segment is brought to you by Tillman's Trinkets and Things. custom jewelry ships straight to your doorstep. Every piece will be uniquely yours. So if you are looking for some custom bracelets or necklaces, go see our guy Jonathan at TillmansTrinketsAndThings.com. Again, that's TillmansTrinketsAndThings.com. Tell him the Hawksbeat sent you. You'll be happy you did. FreeBeats.io.